So let me ask you a question, kind of getting into my message today now. How do you react when someone expresses a need to talk with you? I need to talk with you. Yeah, right? I need to have a talk with you. Oh, doesn't it sound ominous? Our reactions are probably based on who is making the request and why they're making that request, and maybe what our past interactions with that person have been. In fact, if you're Kim Schuckman, and I come to Kim and I just say, "Kim, I need to talk with you," Kim automatically just starts freaking out. You know, she gets all nervous. You know, "Oh no, what's a pastor going to talk to me about?" You know, it's like Kim has done such a wonderful job with our children's ministry. You know, thank you, Kim. But we do need to talk. No, just playing, just playing. If you can recall the queasiness of someone that you knew you weren't looking forward to having that talk with them, then you can somehow relate to little Mary, this young teenage girl, betrothed to be married, as the angel Gabriel addressed her. "Mary, we've got to talk." Wow, okay. But I love how Gabriel, the angel, and many times the angel of the Lord presents to us humans, and the very first words out of their mouths are, "Do not be afraid." And so it goes with the angel Gabriel. He says to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Whew. Listen to those words again. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Now I want to read those words again, or I want to speak those words again, but instead of Mary's name putting in there, I want you to insert your name. "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." Aren't those words that you just long to hear if you had a talk with God? You have found favor with Him. We face many situations throughout life that are not comfortable, or that they might be real struggles that we feel we're so alone in life to battle, or we're so weak, or we're helpless to face this barrier that's before us. But listen to the truths of these words spoken, that they might help you in your place of struggle this morning. If you find yourself having a real struggle in this life right now, I want you to hear these words from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you, nor will He forsake you." Isn't that the kind of encouragement that you'd love to hear right now if you're facing a really tough struggle? God will not fail you. Never will He forsake you. In fact, these truths, these words were so powerful. It's a message that God wanted us to hear, that He confirms it in the New Testament as well in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Listen first to God's promise. First, God speaks, "I will never leave you or ever forsake you. I'll never leave you or forsake you." Do you believe that, church? That's a promise from God. And God stands behind every promise he makes. Amen? So God promises, I will never leave you or ever forsake you. Now, what's our proper response to God's wonderful promise? It's this. And again, this is out of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. So we say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Right? Who am I going to listen to? Am I going to listen to someone who is made just like me? Or am I going to be listening to my Creator, my God, who will never leave me or forsake me? You know, it's all about our focus, people. It's all about our focus when we get into really times of struggle and trial and battles. Our battles are not flesh and blood. They are spiritual battles. And God has equipped us with spiritual tools to help us wage war in that spiritual battle. Amen? And that's where I get the title of today's message, The Strength to Rejoice. The Strength to Rejoice. When you are in a battle, when you are in a time of great conflict, is it an easy place to rejoice? Let's be honest. It's not, is it? It is not an easy place. You know, when things, it seems like it just keeps coming at you, or that thing just won't go away. And it's always prominent. It's always right there on your radar screen. And you keep coming up against it. It's not a time that you really feel like rejoicing. And yet, that's what the Scriptures tell us to do, is to always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5. Read this with me, if you would. It's inside your bulletin on the outline. And honestly, people, I'm getting really tired of picking up bulletins after church. And then y'all wonder why you're missing stuff. You're missing occasions as to when we get together and the times. It's inside your bulletin. We intentionally try to put out information for you to have in your hand to be able to refer to go back and see, these are the times that we're fellowshipping together. These are the times when things are happening. So please take these home to remind yourself. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now, you look at those words and just, we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Right. Yeah, thanks, Paul, for writing those words down for us to read, right? Because I'm not feeling it. When you are in the midst of problems and trials, we don't feel like rejoicing. And yet, that's the very place that we need to be. Because when we rejoice, you know what happens? It reverses our focus from our problem and our trial onto the one who is greater than our problems and our trials. But instead, what do? And I got to be honest, I'm just as human as you are. I focus on the problem and the trial. And I start thinking about that and How did I get myself in? Why do I deserve this? What happened here? Why am I having to deal with this in my life? And yet, from these words from Paul, we know that these problems and trials help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Now we understand that Paul wrote 16 of the New Testament letters. And in each and every one of these, he wrote these same kind of words to encourage them. Why? Because the church, the brand new church, was always under attack by the old ways of following after God. You see, this new way of grace and forgiveness without the law was a totally new ambiance of thought for people to embrace, that my God, I don't have to follow all the commands and all, you know, no, I made it so much easier for you, Jesus said. All you have to do is follow two commands. And that's love God with everything that you are. Everything within your makeup. Love God. Don't hold back on your love for God. And then love others as you love yourself. Well, what greater act of love could there be of yourself than to love God? Right? Because He so loved you. And He brought you into this new relationship. A relationship that is not about the legalism of keeping rules and regulations, but instead it's about loving God. Can you love? Each of us have the ability to love. However, there is a greater capability of love when God's Spirit fills us. And God's Spirit fills those who believe in their heart and say with their mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. When you believe in your heart and you profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you give Him dominance over your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your prejudices, your judgments, everything of life. Jesus becomes Lord. He's the director. You are not. And believe me, I tried directing my life a lot. For most of my life, I tried to direct it. And what happened? I made a lot of mistakes that I look back on in life and I go, man, I wish I hadn't directed myself to do these things. But now that I've let the Lord be director of my life, then it's His wisdom that I seek. It's His orders that I seek. And I don't do that just on a Sunday morning. No, it's an everyday submission to the leading of God in my life. And you know what the beautiful thing about it is when I submit myself to the rule of God, He lets the Holy Spirit abide in me. When I accept Jesus as my Lord, God keeps on giving. And what does He give? He gives the power of the Holy Spirit for you and for me to be able to live the kind of life that God desires us to live. Because in our own strength, we can't do it. It's silly to think we can. My thoughts that I wrote down is life and difficulties are mostly about our focus. How many of you, when you're first presented with problems, are usually quick to try to figure out where, when, how, And what happened? Right? And guys, we've got to admit it. We're fixers. And so when problems arise, our first natural instinct is to spring into action and fix it. Right? Can I hear from the guys? Amen? Amen. I know. I'm a guy. I love to fix things. There are some things that I understand my limitations to be able to fix. I can take a vehicle apart. I am really good at taking things apart. I am not so good at putting things back together. I don't know why I'm not wired that way. And I really admire, you know, people that can take things apart and then put them back together. I don't know why, but I always have leftover parts. Yeah, I know. They were just extras that they threw in there, right? But that's the way that guys are. We are the fix-its. And sometimes my wife will bring a problem to me, and I will, because I adore and dote on her so much, I will listen to her problem, but then about halfway through mid-sentence, I'll go, "Ooh, wait, time out, wait a minute, I know how to fix that." And she's like, "I don't want you to fix it. I just wanted to share with you what's going on. Will you please shut up?" And I said, "You said the S word to me? Yeah, shut up." Okay. Yeah. And then she reminds me that the Holy Father gave me two ears to listen and only one mouth. And since I have two ears, I should listen twice as much as I talk. Just teasing. 40 years last Sunday. Woohoo, right? The thing is, guys, when we jump in and we try to fix it, we bumble it somewhere. We don't always hit the nail on the head. It's usually when the answers and solutions don't come quickly, guys, that we resort to finding some help. If there's difficulties in a marriage, who do you think the first person to try to find help is? The wife. Top answer. The wife. The wife is one of those people. And in fact, when we went through a marriage seminar one time, the guy says, "You know, if you ever want to really know, guys, husbands, if you ever want to really know what's wrong in your marriage, ask your wife. They have a built-in marriage manual within them that God has given them because they're about relationships. They know how to keep relationships right. Guys, not so much. It's just not our strong. That's why God gave them the mothering abilities that he gave them. You know, us, the kid would be crying. We'd go, "What's wrong? I need to fix you." And the kid sits there and keeps crying. You go, "Must be a diaper thing." "Nope. No, it's not a diaper thing." "Oh, man. Why didn't you come with like a manual or something that I could read?" "Oh, it's a feeding thing." "Oh, okay." Because we know food will soothe everybody, right? Hence the cinnamon rolls, the back burner, right? Right. And so, but moms will see the baby and immediately do what? Pick it up. Guys, we're not, it's like, "I don't want to get my hands dirty." "Kid, you're drooling all over yourself. Fix that stuff." Hmm. When faced with huge dilemmas that are beyond our ability, we have one of two reactions. We either retreat, accepting the inability to make this thing better, or we finally ask for help. Now, the second choice is what I want to concentrate on today. We have at our fingertips the almighty power of God. If we will approach Him. The psalm teaches us to come into His presence with singing and praise, to enter His courts with thanksgiving. But how? It's all about our focus. Are your problems, are your dilemmas, is that thing that you are facing down in life, is it so great that it's bigger than your God? Or is God bigger than your problems? It's all about your focus. Your first fill-in. What sustains in difficult times is a joyful spirit. What sustains in difficult times is a joyful spirit. And yet, when you are in the midst of difficult times, I've got to admit, just as well as you do, it is hard to have a joyful spirit. And yet, one of the people that I admire so much in this church was a lady that stood up and gave testimony to the fact that she's had 3 surgeries in 2 months. And if you ever had the privilege of going and visiting with Ruth during this time, you walked into a beautiful room of smile and strength, because she knew the secret of what we're talking about today, that God's Spirit lived in her and that God would never leave her or forsake her, and that God was the strength of her life. And you, even though you thought that you might have been bringing a spirit of joy to her, you left that room with joy, because she has a joyful spirit in her Lord. And she proves it, that in the midst of all this pain that she's going through, because it's painful what Ruth has gone through, folks. I mean, we fall down, we scrape our elbows or our knees, and wow, boy, that hurts, right? But to have somebody on purpose cut you open with a scalpel to take some stuff out, that's a pain that you need to heal up on. And she's been in a lot of pain. So to have her in our midst this morning is just a rejoicing thing for me. So what sustains in difficult times is a joyful spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Read it with me, please. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that produces this, because when I come up against difficult times in my flesh, I just can't produce that. It's difficult for me, and I know it's difficult for you as well, whenever you face a difficult time, is to have a spirit of rejoicing. However, it is something that the Holy Spirit within you produces out of you. When you do what? When you give yourself over to the power of God's Spirit in you. However, in life's difficulties, so much of the time, we try to deal with it. We try to deal with it. We deal with it in our strength, in our abilities, and we don't ever surrender ourselves to the Lord until we are finally at that point of being completely broken, and then we finally give it over. Oh, Lord, help me out. And God's been sitting there waiting, going, you're one stubborn child. I was wondering how long it was going to take for you to finally give this up and give this over into my hands. Will you accept, will you receive my spirit of love, of joy, of peace? And you go, Oh, wow. In fact, that's what the Lord was talking to me about this morning, is so many of us are givers. We love to give. I love to give. My wife chastises me on my generosity at times, you know, because I just love to give to people. I give of my time. I give of my resources. I just love to give to people. Why? Because I want to enrich in their lives. And I hate seeing people struggle in life. And so what if I can do something to help you through a difficult area of your life? I love to do that. But I can't mind read. So you got to help me out as a pastor. You know, if you think that I failed you in some area, well, the pastor just didn't call me up or he didn't, you know, boy, help me out. I would love to minister and pastor onto y'all, but I don't always know everything that's going on with you. And one of the things that I hope for those of you that have come in to the church during the week, Monday through Thursday, because Friday, Suzanne and I try to keep as our Sabbath day, our day of rest. But if you come into this office anytime between Monday and Thursday, you will see, and Shirley, you back me up on this if you would, please, my office door is open. It's not closed. And the only time that it is closed is because we're trying to conserve energy around here, and we have our little space heaters, you know, so we're trying to heat up our offices, you know, and to do that, we got to keep the air, the cold air out in the bigger area of the church out and try to keep our warm air in. So that's the only, but I'll tell you what, and you never hear me say, go away. Well, Shirley might hear that a couple times, but then she's got the intercom that she can buzz me on, you know. So there you go. I can't ever get away from the girl. But my door is open, and I'm open why? Because I love you, and I want to be here to serve you as your pastor. I want to care for you, but I can't do that if you don't let me know what's going on in your life. I can't pray for you effectively if I don't know what you're dealing with in life. So help me be a better pastor, please, in your eyes and in other people's eyes, that they might see, you know what? We've really got a loving, caring pastor, because I do love you guys a lot. You got to let the Spirit of God dwell in you. You got to receive the Spirit of God. It's not always about giving out. It's about also receiving. And that's what some of you might think of. Well, Pastor, how can you keep doing that? How can you keep giving yourself out? It's like, because this is the life that God planned out for me. It's to be a minister. This is not my call. If I was directing my life, we'd be out playing golf today. Well, maybe not today. It's a little cold. But that was where my life was going to go in my eye. But this is what God has called me to. And God has called each and every one of you to a ministry for His purposes, to bring glory to His name. Let the Holy Spirit come in and abide within you and direct you to where He wants you to go. Amen? Okay, so point number two, God's Spirit of joy is enduring and strong. It's enduring and strong. Has anything that God has made ever run out? Sun keeps shining every day, right? Moon keeps shining, you know, stars at night. In fact, the stars are even out there in the daytime. It's just too bright for us to be able to see them. Has water stopped being abundant? Well, in some places. California's got an abundance of water right now, right? A little bit too much. Caused mudslides. Nothing that God made has been outdated. There's no expiration date on it. It's all good because God made it good, right? So God's spirit of joy that the Holy Spirit brings to us is enduring and it's strong. Psalm 32:10 says what? Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. But the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who does what? Who trusts in him. So in other words, these problems, these difficulties, they come my way. And what do? I deflect them onto God. God, I've got these troubles and difficulties. Yeah, I see that. I need some guidance. That's where the truth of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 comes in. Right? And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 from someone who is very studious. Let me hear it. Right on. Right on. Now, that's a young lady that has gone through discipleship with my wife. And part of the discipleship program is memorizing scriptures. And that's what we got to do. We got to hide the Word of God in our hearts because when trials and tribulations come our way, we've got to have something, an energy within us that fights back the desire to just want to shrink away and hide. And that is the Word of God. When you have the Word of God hidden in your heart, then you can say, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. God, I can't understand why I'm dealing with this problem right now. I don't understand what this is doing in my life. But I surrender this problem to you. You, through the power of your Holy Spirit, give me the strength to get through this. And God's spirit of joy, which is enduring and is strong, will get you through it. Because we all have heard the saying before, and I want to use it again. If God brings you to it, God will pull you through it, bring you to it, bring you through it, whatever. But if God brings you to it, unfortunately, there are some difficulties in our life that we bring on ourselves because of the choices that we make. Amen? But if God brings you to a difficulty, it's to do what? Well, when I run into problems and trials, we know that they help to us to develop endurance. Endurance. And endurance comes from knowing that the Word of God will never fail me or forsake me. Amen? Okay. So James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Let it grow. Let it grow. Oh, sorry. Not. I don't know why that song just jumped into my mind when I read that. So let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. Yeah. Anyway, God's spirit of joy is enduring and it's strong. And what sustains in difficult times is a joyful spirit. And that is the spirit of God in you. Receive it. Third, peace is produced by God's strong spirit in us. Peace is produced by God's strong spirit in us. You want to keep turmoil going? in your life, when a difficulty arrives and you want to keep turmoil going, keep looking at it through your own power and through your own strength and through your own wisdom and through your own conventional ways. You want peace? Give it over to God and let Him have it. And I must say this little caveat. There are times when I have given God things. You know, God, I can't deal with this problem. Here it is. And I feel so much better. But then before my prayer time is out, I reach in and I take that thing back. Anybody else have that? Oh, but God, I gave it over to you. But you might need some help with it. Right? And we continue to try to deal with it out of our own strength, out of our own abilities, rather than just leaving it there at the cross. Leaving it there at the throne of God. God, here's this problem. Help me deal with it. For in myself I am weak. But you, Lord God, you are strong. Peace is produced by God's strong spirit in us. Philippians 4, 4 to 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Guys, I want to speak to you just for a moment. Because sometimes when troubles arrive and they come on the forefront of our thinking, number one, we want to try to fix it. Number two, sometimes we lose our gentleness toward our wife or to those who have brought the problem to us. Because we try to handle things in our strength rather than letting God direct our path. A release that I want to give you men out of that is this. Simply say with me, I don't have all the answers. You ready? I don't have all the answers. But my God does. But God does. See, it's, and I understand, guy, I'm a guy. I'm a man through and through. And when troubles come, I want to try to handle them. I'm not saying this because I haven't experienced it. I'm talking to you as one who has walked there. And it's hard to give up supremacy to the Lord, but it's exactly where we need to go. We need to give Him supremacy in our life and say, I don't know it all. But Lord God, you do. And really, when I frame it that way, doesn't it make sense? Because if you knew it all, you'd have created everything. But you didn't create everything. Who created everything? So He understands how everything works, right? And if it's broken, guess what? God can put it back together. Amen? Okay. So, when it's God's problem, when I take it to God and I leave it on Him, then I have all sorts of peace about it. It's like, I don't know. My wife says, well, what's the answer? I don't know. God hasn't given it to us yet, but He will. But He will. And we're going to patiently endure until He gives us that answer. Amen? Lastly, and for closing, don't you all love those words? It's going, yeah, that cinnamon roll back burner sounding really good right now. A spirit of hope begins a strong confidence in God. A spirit of hope begins a strong confidence in God. You see, if I have a problem that's too overwhelming, I don't know how to fix it, and I give it to God and hope that, you know what, I am going to hear from Him and He's going to provide the answer for it, then I have a spirit of hope within me. And it brings a strong confidence that God will hear and answer my prayers. Amen? And that can only come from that Spirit of God, because according to Galatians 5, 22 and 3, patience is one of the virtues. Right? In fact, I was talking to a kid at a cash register the other day as we were shopping, and it was mega busy in there. And I was just waiting for my turn. And I could have gone to other lines. And in fact, he even saw me, and he's like being apologetic about, you know, there was an item that they didn't have the code on, so they were trying to find the code number on that so they could enter the right price and everything, even though the patron was saying, it's $4.99. Take my word for it. Too many cashiers have been duped into admitting that when that thing was $44.99. No, that's a... Anyway, and he looked at me and I said, hey, it's all good. Patience is a virtue. Right? And honestly, and those, Robert working in mercantile and Danielle working in mercantile and others of you who've had your hand in that, you know that this time of the year is crazy with people and their demands and they want their stuff and they want it now. Right? Patience, it's a virtue. Let the Spirit of God just come upon you and be that joyful spirit back to them. After all, it's not you that they're mad at. They're mad at the fact that they waited till the last minute to try to get all these things. Right? In fact, I haven't even done my shopping yet. Woo! Just to let you know, honey. Love you. A spirit of hope brings a strong confidence in God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says what? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I really love our mayor, the leader of our community. His name is Harvey Skoog. If none of you don't know him, that's his name. And he's been serving our community for a number of years. This is probably going to be his last term as mayor, and I'm sad to see that happen, but until then, I want to give you this poem because Harvey sent me a Christmas letter from he and his wife. In this poem, it says, "The storm will bring blessings. Sometimes the sun seems hidden when our lives are filled with rain. And yet God sees us clearly, and his promises remain. Sometimes we pray for something that he doesn't seem to give. And yet he knows just what we need to help us grow and live. And finally, when the sun shines and the clouds are there no longer, we see how much he blessed us. And the storm has made us stronger." Don't you love that? Loving Heavenly Father, as we did this week, we have faced storms, and that's just talking about the outside weather. But Lord God, many of us might be facing a storm in our life that we don't understand why. Why the winds are blowing so harshly, why the clouds are so dark and gloomy. And Lord God, this morning, I just want to lead your people, your children, into just holding out their hands and saying, God, here's my difficulty. Here's my problem. Here's my situation. I don't have the answers. Please show me. Please show me, Lord. I surrender the answers to you. And I wait patiently for what you want to do in and through my life. Father, I trust in you with all my heart. Help me not to lean on my own understanding, but instead to wait upon your Holy Spirit. And in all my ways, I will acknowledge you. and let you direct my paths. And everybody that agreed with that prayer said, God bless y'all.